Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Hey, this is Shane Vanderhart. We got Ron Carlson at the board.
Howdy.
And we are without Brian Myers today. He is out sick. If you remember what his voice sounded like last week, apparently it's just that he can barely talk.
It's almost non-existent.
Well, he just said he's feeling like crud. I'm elaborating. I assume, because I know if I were so sick I couldn't be on the radio, it's because my voice would not work. Otherwise, I'd drag my butt here.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just not committed. I don't know. No, I'm joking. No, he's been struggling with a cold for quite a while, and all the traveling he's doing is probably not helping. And
enough rest.
Right, yeah. Right. And he and I both. I think he was down in Missouri as well. I also made a trip down to Missouri. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you. I'm kind of a guy. I like driving sometimes, mm-hmm. especially in the daytime when I can see things.
Absolutely.
Nighttime driving doesn't. I'm not as into because I can't obviously see anything.
Yeah.
But I love two-lane highway driving, except unless I get behind like a combine or something, then I get a little annoyed.
Yeah.
But especially in the fall, I don't know what it is, but I had to go down to Ottumwa, and I was driving from Ottumwa down to Kirksville, Missouri, on down to Columbia, mm-hmm. ended up staying the night at Jefferson City, Missouri, which I haven't been through Jefferson City, let alone stay in there since I was a kid. So it was kind of interesting. I enjoy going to other state capitals. Mm-hmm. Just to see what it's like. And Jefferson City is considerably smaller than Des Moines, but the capital is like prominent. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Indeed.
But anyway, I enjoy driving because you get to see, I think, America. You know, especially mm-hmm. when you get off the interstate and you're on two lane, you get to drive through the little towns, you get to see things, you get to see all the political signs. And holy cow, there's Iowa has a lot of political signs, but there is far more political signs in Missouri. I was shocked. Wow. Yeah, and they have a hotly contested governor's race going on mm-hmm. there too. Which the Republican candidate is pretty interesting. Eric Greitens, former Navy SEAL, he did this political advertisement during the primaries where it was nothing but him firing off this machine gun, which I can't remember if it was M60 or what. I think it was M60, but it was pretty hilarious.
Sure.
So anyway, he ended up winning, which surprised everybody. And he was, he ran against the former lieutenant governor, I believe. And I think I want to say Speaker of the House, mm-hmm. Some people that, have had some political clout and they're heavyweights and well known, and here this guy came in. I mean, but then again, 2016. Mm-hmm. if you're a politician, that isn't necessarily, at least in Republican primary politics, is not a positive thing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he's running. He's actually currently behind in the polls to Chris Kester, the Democratic candidate who is the Attorney General of the state. So. Anyways, it'll be interesting seeing that. And then when I was driving home last night, I saw the sign because I was thinking, it's about time for dinner. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure if I was just going to stop at this place to, the fast food place just to go drive through and keep driving. But I was like, nah, I need to stop for a little while. Well, I saw the sign saying Toot Toot Restaurant. Bethany, Missouri's famous restaurant.
Wow.
20 miles away. Okay. And I'm like, okay, I'll be driving by Bethany because it's kind of like the last uh-huh. big stop before you hit Iowa.
Sure.
So I'm like, Toot Toot Restaurant. So I stopped and I went in the Toot Toot Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I ordered the salad bar, and they had a taco bar and some other things, all you can eat, because, I need that. And I left a restaurant still not able to figure out why they're famous. But then I thought maybe it wasn't the best idea to stop at a restaurant named Toot Toot.
Yes.
If you have to drive an enclosed car the rest of the way home. I'll let your imagination go there. Anyway, so it's fun. I like driving. So maybe you're like me. Maybe you hate driving. My wife hates driving. But I could be content driving around, just seeing different things. That's just me. World Series.
Indeed.
You've been watching that at all?
I've just been tracking whatever I hear every day radio wise, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I'm hoping the Cubbies can do it. I'm not a huge fan,
yeah,
but it'd just be really cool if they did.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm the same boat. I'm not a real baseball fan. But cause I'm an American, I understand the sport. So I can watch a game and understand what's going on. Unlike, having to sit down with my wife watching a football game, having to explain to her what's the difference between offense and defense.
Uh-huh.
When we were first married, I had to give her a tutorial. That way she knows now.
Good deal.
Yeah. But so, I watched the last half of game two, to where I saw, basically saw the Cubs just, I think it was the fifth inning where they really kind of opened it up to 5-0. And then, of course, the Cleveland Indians scored one run in the sixth or seventh. I can't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. But just seeing that, and I'm just thinking, last time the Chicago Cubs won the World Series in 1908.
Wow.
The Ottoman Empire was still a thing.
Wow.
Women could not yet vote. Teddy Roosevelt was our president.
Wow. That's
and we only had 46 states. So I think they're due.
Indeed.
I think absolutely. The Cubbies are due. So we'll see if they'll fly the W and take home the series. So I hope they do. Then, of course, you doing anything special for Halloween?
No, not really. I mean, when we had kids, we did. But since they're growing up and out of the house, we basically, the house is dark and we pretend we're not home. So.
we've done that before. Well, of course we don't turn off the light. We just don't have the outside light on.
Yeah.
And we just won't answer the door. If you knock on the doorbell or if you ring, knock on the doorbell, if you ring the doorbell or knock on the door when the outside light's not on, how rude. That's like, you're not supposed to go up to a house on trick or beggar's night to do that. Anyway, but some kids just don't quite get the lack of not having a light on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, no, we're not going to talk about just random things throughout the first segment.
We could.
We haven't had a banter like this in quite a while.
Yeah.
But I did want to talk about Donald Trump has been saying the election's rigged. And before I go further, since we're like 8 minutes into our segment, hey, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. And now that we're done talking about mindless stuff, we're going to talk about Donald Trump's saying the election's rigged. Can you go ahead and play clip one? Maybe.
Hillary Clinton should have been prosecuted and gone to jail for what she did. Instead of being held accountable, Hillary is running for president in what looks like to many people a totally rigged election. The election is being rigged by corrupt media pushing false allegations and outright lies in an effort to elect Hillary Clinton president. But we are going to stop it. We are not going to back down. False stories, all made up. Lies, lies. No witnesses, no nothing. All big lies.
Lies.
It's a rigged system.
Okay. Anyway, some of the stories. I've always questioned the timing when, all of a sudden these women, they step forward. It's like, oh, why didn't you do this before?
Yeah, why now?
Yeah. Why are you waiting now? You could have done this even earlier in the primary season. So I think, though, based on the Hollywood Access video, there's probably some truth to some of the allegations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say every single one. as far as not having witnesses, well, you do have the women. They're saying.
Yeah.
So, they do count as a witness. Obviously, if this was being tried in court, you'd want some corroborating witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's not the point what I wanted to get to. He also said, hey, not only is the election rigged, but the polls are phony. Go ahead and play clip two.
The polls, because this is part of the crooked system. It's part of the rigged system that I've been talking about since I entered the race. I understand it. It's a rigged system. They put out phony polls. Wall Street Journal, always. I've never had. I thought I was going to lose South Carolina in the primaries. They came out with a poll that was so bad. And I actually skipped a certain amount of work in other locations in order to stay there. And I end up winning in a landslide. These are what they call them, dark polls. They are phony polls put out by phony media. And I'll tell you what, all of us are affected by this stuff. And what they do is they try and suppress the vote. This way people don't go out and vote. But we're winning this race. I really believe we're winning.
Okay. So I don't recall that South Carolina poll by the Wisconsin or by Wall Street Journal. All the polling I saw in South Carolina, he was leading. So I'm not sure exactly what he was talking about. But anyway, he goes on in another address. He says, I've been saying it a long time. The system's rigged. WikiLeaks also shows how John Podesta rigged the polls by oversampling Democrats, a voter suppression technique. That's happened to me all the time. When the polls are even, when they leave them alone and do them properly, I'm leading. Because only the polls where he's leading are not rigged.
Yes, that's interesting.
Democrats, how is Trump doing? Oh, he's down there polling Democrats. Okay, he's pointing to Zero Hedge that should stick to reporting on the economy. Decided they are going to point. They did a story on the WikiLeaks thing where they rigged the polls and they show this Podesta email where he says basically the email started out with a request that recommendations on over samples of polling in order to maximize what we're getting out of our media polling. I want to. The email says, I also want to get your Atlas folks to recommend oversamples for our polling before we start in February. By market regions, etc., I want to get this all compiled into one set of recommendations so we can maximize what we get out of our media polling. Here's the thing with oversampling. This is how the Pew Research defines oversampling. For some surveys, it is important to ensure that there are enough members of a certain subgroup in the population so that more reliable estimates can be reported for that group. To do this, we oversample members of the subgroup by selecting more people from this group than would typically be done if everyone in the sample had an equal chance of being selected. Because of the margin of sampling error is related to the size of the sample, increasing the sample size for a particular subgroup through the use of oversampling allows for estimates to be made with a similar margin of error. A survey that includes an oversample weights the results so that members in an oversample group are weighted to their actual proportion in the population. This allows for the overall survey results to represent both the national population and the oversampled subgroup.
Ah.
It's not rigging the poll.
Right.
It's just saying, let's see, I want to see how evangelicals think about the candidates. I want to see how African Americans think about the candidates. Let's see what Hispanics think about the candidates. Well, if you did that totally based on in a sample size, based on the size of the population and within, you would have a size that's so small, the margin of error would be incredibly high and it would be inaccurate. So that's why you oversample. But now if they included through those in the overall general election poll without weighting them, then that would be skewed, but that's not what they're doing. Now, polls could be off. I admit that because no one knows what this election is going to bring as far as voter turnout.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all kind of scratching our heads because this could break all the voter turnout models that people have looked at.
Yeah. Hasn't early voting so far been lower than what they expected?
It has been lower. I think actually we're going to have a decreased voter turnout because people aren't enthused about either candidate.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to try to discern who that's going to favor because I think you're seeing it in both Democrats and Republicans. Yeah. Now, here's the thing that I was at a did a Simpson College panel, and I was talking with Laura Balin, who was with the Bleeding Heartland Liberal blog, and she made an interesting point. She said, "Is this talk? Will this talk of Trump saying the elections are rigged actually suppress the vote against him? Because if you were, you know, if you're a Trump supporter or if you're a Republican, you think, oh, the election's rigged anyway. Why bother? You know, yeah. They might stay home." Now, I don't know if that's the case. I'm sure she hopes that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think that this talking about the election being rigged is helping him. I don't know what it's supposed to accomplish other than getting people mad. Just instead, just get out the vote, get out the vote, get out the vote. That's what he should be doing. He should be, you know, the polls are what they are. Deal with it. The problem is with Donald Trump is he has not been able to stay on message. He has not been able to focus. He's been doing a little bit better this week. But if I were him, you know, with the Obamacare rates going up, that's all I would be talking about.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't be talking about the polls. I wouldn't be talking about even Clinton emails. Just Obamacare, 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 Obamacare.
Yep.
And focus on that and perhaps maybe another issue. But, you know, we're crunch time. We got less than a week and a half before Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
People are already voting with early voting. He needs to desperately stay on message if he's going to pull this off. Whether regardless of the polls, national polls seem to be tightening some. I think the Electoral College map still looks pretty dismal, but we'll see. We could all be surprised, you know?
Absolutely.
Who knows? Anyway, I'm quivering in anticipation. We'll see. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance you need. So, on the line, we have a very special guest. He has, I think this is his first time on Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. He is a contributor at CaffeinatedThoughts.com. He's also the author of a book called With Christ in the Voting Booth, which actually came out in 2012. Welcome, David Shedlock, to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Hey, thanks, Dave, for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me, Shane.
So, I just want to first ask, in 2012, when you published this book, what prompted you to write this book?
Actually, I'd started out, I was going to write a book that was kind of promoting the candidacy of Mike Huckabee. But he decided in the fall before that to not run in 2012. So I'd already started the book on Christians and voting. So I just sent it a different direction. And I think the thing that's unique about my book is there are many Christians who've written books about politics. Usually the format is topics about politics and usually issues, and then they go behind it and say, okay, here's the scriptural basis for these issues. I went the other way around. I first did the scriptural basis for various things, didn't make application at all mm-hmm. in regard to the current situation. And I had notes, basics of one of the titles is called Government of the Center, by the Center, for the Center. I also talk about our president. Is he elected or selected? And I bring out the fact that God puts up our leaders and takes them down.
Right.
And I talk about anarchy and tyranny and how they play against each other and that kind of thing from the scriptures first, and then I make application to politics.
So what would you, what do you consider the importance of, or how important is our vote in light of what you just discussed? For instance, there's a commercial that's being played by a social conservative group here in Iowa that talks about Christians being called to choose, and we're called to choose even when the choices are hard, the commercial goes. Are Christians called to choose, first of all? And what does that choice entail? Is that is a vote akin to like an endorsement, or is it, you know, you go? How would you
sure.
define the importance of voting?
I'm swimming upstream on this. Because, first of all, I don't think the vote is nearly as important as most people make it out to be.
Okay.
Number one, you take the last election where Barack Obama won by about 10 million votes. If I had decided to vote differently or not vote, it wouldn't have made a bit of difference. The odds that your vote will make any difference as an individual are slim and none.
Okay.
Now, I realize that it's the collection of votes.
Right.
But I can't affect the collection of voters. Only the candidates can do that. So the candidates end up sort of influencing large numbers of people, but your individual vote doesn't really mean anything. I'm afraid this push that says Christians have to vote is really a slick way of getting us to vote for Donald Trump. If you have to vote, the idea is, you got to vote for the lesser of two evils.
Right.
And obviously, in the eyes of many, Donald Trump is the lesser of two evils. We know, the quote, the devil we know is Hillary Clinton. And they admit that Trump might be the devil we don't know.
Yeah.
So,
but he may not be as bad as the devil we do know, right?
Well, he could be worse.
He could be worse, yeah. That's been kind of my argument that unfortunately has fallen on some deaf ears.
A lot of people try and twist our arms to vote by saying a vote, if you don't vote for Trump, you're voting for Hillary. But I would respond to that by saying, why can't a non-vote count as a vote for Trump?
Well,
if it can count for Hillary, why can't it? And the problem is, it assumes I'd prefer Trump over Hillary.
Right.
That if I really did vote, I would vote for Trump over Hillary. Well, I can't say that.
Well, I think some people who promote that point of view are engaged in Common Core math, where one minus one equals one.
Right.
In my mind, it equals zero. I'm not voting for Trump or for Clinton. I'm voting for whoever I decide to vote for. I have an idea who I'm going to vote for. I'll probably announce that next week. But anyway, my vote for Trump, my non-voter, my vote for a third party doesn't necessarily mean a vote for Hillary Clinton.
Right. And the last thing I would say on that particular subject is a lot of this is being driven by a fear of Hillary. And there's one thing that I try to emphasize in my book, and this is long before I knew Hillary to be writing, is that God is in charge, and our nation may go through all kinds of turmoil. In fact, there may be persecution in our future. But God is watching over his church. God's watching over his people. They have nothing to be afraid of. They're not. The Bible condemns having a fear of man. And so what can man do to us? And they can only kill the body and steal our stuff, but they cannot touch our soul, which is in the Lord's hands.
Absolutely. So, somebody's made the argument before that, well, you know, we don't know how God might use Donald Trump. Well, how would you respond to that?
Well, I'd say if you think it's the one who gets the vote most votes is going to be the president, for example, there are four or five examples I give in my book where that's just not the case. We have the president who died because of the flu or pneumonia he caught during the inaugural parade.
Yeah.
Well, the guy that became president wasn't the one the people voted for.
True.
Gerald Ford became president, but nobody ever voted for him as vice president or president. He became president. And then several times we know that the Electoral College brought out a candidate who did not get the majority of votes. George Bush, in the Bush v. Gore, actually did get less total votes than Gore, no matter how you think that the court should have handled it.
Right.
Because of the Electoral College, Bush beat Gore, but if it had been popular vote, Gore would have beaten Bush.
That's an example where individual votes may have counted. As close as that race was. At least if you're in a swing state.
Right. And even that was like 350 votes between them.
True. By the way, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have David Shedlock, author of With Christ in the Voting Booth. David, I'm curious as to basically, you got all these Christian leaders who are backing Donald Trump or cheerleading for Donald Trump, and then Russell Moore recently gave a speech this week where he gave a pretty much a eulogy for the religious right. Do you think the religious right is dead as a result of backing Trump and maybe some decisions before that?
Sure. I actually did a fairly lengthy explanation of the Christian right, how it came up in the early 70s with Moore majority and with others. I do think the political aspects of the Christian right are actually, I shouldn't say they're dead. I don't know that they ever were alive. Many candidates gave lip service, but very few of the presidential candidates, at least, furthered the agenda of the religious right. So it may be dead, but I think it's actually a good thing if it teaches Christians to put their priorities where they should be. The only Christian nation is the church. Jesus said, and the Apostle Paul said, that we are a holy nation, a holy people. And so the only Christian nation is the church. And if we would focus on what the church is supposed to be doing, which is winning the lost, worshiping God, and so on, then the other things would take care of themselves.
Okay. I've been frustrated, growingly frustrated, over the Christian, at least among evangelicals, that we tend to be seen more and more and more as just a voting block of the Republican Party. And I remember when there was still the Christian Coalition, the Iowa Christian Coalition put out a brochure, and I tried challenging them on this because I never heard back. But they included things like term limits and balanced budget amendment, and I'm thinking, what in the world? How is there a Christian perspective on term limits? You know,
right?
I mean, should we? You know, should the church be just a voting block of the Republican Party, or are we losing our message as a result of that?
Yeah, I think we are. Proof of that is if you go back to the 2012 election when a Mormon was put in as the Republican candidate. Many Christians, a few of them said they can go ahead and vote for him, and I don't have a problem with that per se. But there are many Christian leaders who turned around and said that Mitt Romney is a Christian.
Ah.
And that Mormon religion was Christian. And that's an example of how politics corrupts the church. I don't think necessarily the church corrupts politics, but politics tends to corrupt the church. Now, I'm not saying you can't be involved in politics.
Right.
I'm not even saying you can't run. But if you think that running is going to change the country, I think you're going to be disappointed.
Right. Well, you know, I look at the decision, like the recent Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage. And even back in 2009 when the Iowa Supreme Court
struck down same-sex marriage. I was an interim pastor at the time, and I told my church then, it's like, you know, this battle is being lost long before this decision was passed down. When we, because it seems like the church has put its all the eggs in the political basket, and its faith almost in the political basket. When you know, we're something has gone wrong when the only time we're say engaging with homosexuals is in the political realm. Because when we do
you've said it, because we see those folks as the enemy,
right?
Rather than a mission field,
right? And our you know, our enemy's not flesh and blood. It's we're called to you know, go up against the forces of darkness, that's not homosexual community. That's Satan and his you know, and we got a spiritual battle that we need to win. I think the culture war has, you know, has hurt our efforts towards evangelism. Now, I think, you know, we were called to change culture, but ultimately cultures change when individuals turn, you know, their hearts are turned towards Jesus Christ. And then as they become discipled, they, you know, have a developing biblical worldview in which they then, you know, flows out of, you know, out of that flows their contributions to culture, their contributions to the political realm,
sure,
etc.
Sure. The subtitle of my book is Casting Down Imaginations Before Casting Your Vote. And so the imaginations that we have about our influence and so on and so forth, they are just that, they're imaginations. We got to cast them down before we vote.
So, first, you know, we got about a minute and a half. Well, actually, a minute left. I want to make sure people know where they can purchase your book, because we certainly want to drive people to do that. Where can people find your book?
Sure. The best place right now, as far as price, is ChristianBook.com.
Okay.
And then it can also be bought on Amazon. And if you type in the title with Christ in the Voting Booth, you'll find a few other places where it can be bought.
Great. I'll make
sure. And there's also There's also an e-version of it.
Okay, so people can get it on their Kindle.
Yep.
Awesome. So with 30 seconds left, 2016, one last brief, very brief point of advice you'd like to give the voting electorate.
The idea is this. Your vote is a vote between you and God. Don't worry about what politics or other people do try to pressure you. Just keep in mind that Christ is with you in the voting booth.
Amen. Thank you, David, for coming on. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. Well, our third segment's obviously the time where if you're a regular listener, you know, we talk about kind of give a news rundown, and I wanted to focus, at least for the first, you know, half of our time, this segment on some local stuff, which we don't always do.
Mm-hmm.
Des Moines Register had a series on a he's now 18, a juvenile who, or adult now, who was charged with sexual assault. And they've been, actually, Des Moines Register's been rebuked for their coverage of this particular case by somebody I think I know personally that, you know, I was kind of surprised when I saw his letter to the editor. But I wanted to first read you a piece of an example of what they've written about this case. This was about Nicholas Fifield. This was written September 19th by Lee Rude at the Des Moines Register. She wrote, "She changed her story after she told a friend she was sexually assaulted. His lawyer exercised Nicholas Fifield's right to remain silent and declined police requests to respond to the allegations. Now, as Fifield's sentencing approaches October 12th, both sides question whether the outcome will be just. Fifield's little-known arrest for felony sexual assault whipped up a public squall in May when parents at Valley High School questioned whether the West Des Moines tennis player received lenient punishment at school because his father was the team's coach. The 18-year-old's plea to a lesser offense in August turned into a firestorm when news of his likely probation landed on social media. Appropriate punishment in sexual assault cases have been the subject of national debate this summer after Stanford University swimmer Brock Turner received a 6-month sentence for the rape of an unconscious undergrad behind a dumpster," which I would agree, that was outrageous. However, this isn't exactly the same thing. "A state championship doubles tennis contender, Fifield was never the Olympic hopeful Turner aspired to be, but in both cases, outsiders question whether privileged young men were being given lighter sentences for crimes against women incapable of giving consent," because this woman in question was autistic. Of course, it sounds like, anyway, I want to read you the letter to the editor. And this was written by Tony Rhodes, who is the program manager at Polk County Youth Services. When I worked with Serve Our Youth Network, I worked very closely with Tony Rhodes, and he's a good guy. And I think he's not a guy who will fire off an opinion very quickly, so I was kind of surprised to see his letter to the editor in there. He says, "I'm disappointed in the way the Register has reported on allegations made against a Valley High School student. The most recent article featuring an interview with the defendant's father, Jay Fifield, enlightens readers with facts that were not shared in any previous stories. But even this article seemed to be slanted in a way that presumed guilt. That both parties have special needs and the police report portrays their activity as consensual are very important factors that should have been presented from the beginning. Perhaps this information wasn't immediately available, but if that's the case, then the responsible path would have been to wait until more facts were available. Instead, the Register portrayed a situation based purely on sensational allegations that it turns out don't even tell half the story. Once the Register judged this young man guilty and getting let off easy, his life was affected forever. I'm not a legal expert, but I've dealt with many autistic youth over the course of my career, and I'm confused as to why the consensual relations among two young people in a months-long dating relationship somehow constitutes a felony on either the part of the male, a minor in this case, or the female, an adult. Early on in a 25-year career working with juvenile delinquents in Polk County, I learned that just because an accusation is made doesn't necessarily mean a crime has been committed. In my opinion, the Register has failed in this regard." I agree. And frankly, I'm so tired of the media even reporting on juvenile cases. There used to be that these cases were sealed.
Mm-hmm.
No information was given. And this does not help kids at all. And it also doesn't help us ascertain facts because we're never privy to all the information given. So good for Tony for writing that. I wholeheartedly agree. And this was treated as though it was black and white, and there were a lot of factors I think that people weren't considering. I think we just need to stop trying people in the press and just wait, you know, for all the facts to come out. You could apply this to the whole, the police shootings as well. It's like, just stop. Stop. The media's don't just assume because it's the news they got all the facts. They don't. Mm-hmm. We need to wait for it to come out. It takes time to investigate these things. And the father said, you know, we pleaded to a lesser charge because the whole process was impacting my son negatively, and we just wanted to get it done with.
Mm.
So that wasn't necessarily an admission of guilt either.
Wow.
So that's something people need to keep in mind as well. There is a Polk County Sheriff's race going on.
There is?
Yes. Yes. KCCI reports there's not been a lot of press on this other than Rekha Basu bashing Dan Charleston all the time in the Des Moines Register. But KCCI reported current Polk County Sheriff Bill McCarthy and challenger deputy Dan Charleston are facing off once again. This time, the race has not reached the level of acrimony that marked the campaign 4 years ago. I think I disagree. Just hasn't necessarily been public.
Yeah.
I'm proud of that we're transparent, open to the public, and willing to answer questions and be part of the community, McCarthy said. Really? Okay. For Charleston, that starts with the central theme of his campaign, getting rid of – oh, I'm sorry. I skipped. So I just think we could do a lot better job here in Polk County to better serve the citizens, Charleston said. For Charleston, that starts with the central theme of his campaign, getting rid of speed cameras. People don't want them, Charleston said. We're on the right side of this because of the constitutionality of it. McCarthy said he could not disagree more. They are now highly requested by the public. We get calls all the time to put it in my house or put it on my driveway. I have a hard time believing that.
I have a very hard time believing
that. I'm sorry. Yeah, I just have a hard time believing that. While the campaign has not been publicly as negative as it was 4 years ago, Charleston says battles he is fighting from that campaign linger. We're in the middle of a political retaliation lawsuit from 2012 election. This time I've been served with demotion and termination papers as well. In the Des Moines Register, they've brought up a complaint made against him that he had not even actually seen.
Wow.
That's not supposed to be leaked. It's part of his personnel record. It's supposed to be private. Wow. So there's just all sorts of garbage going on. He's had yard signs stolen, including there's been reports by somebody in a sheriff's deputy car doing that. So
Wow. Yeah,
there's a lot of crud happening. McCarthy said nothing that's happened to Charleston is backlash from the campaign, and the lawsuit is reason he did not debate Charleston this time around. Here's the facts, folks. McCarthy barely goes out of his office. You know, he needs to retire. He's getting to the point where he needs to retire. He's unable to do the job. And he said the fact too, he said, you know, he and Charleston never see each other. Really? You're supposed to be supervising these people. This, you know, and you never seen this guy in the 4 years you ran against him. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And these termination papers coming after, you know, as Charleston, you know, announces he's going to run again. It's, you know, okay, yeah, I can't believe this is not politically motivated. People need to see through this. I encourage you to get out and vote. Vote for Dan Charleston. We need change, you know, at the Polk County Sheriff's office. Because McCarthy is just, you know, it's just time for him to go. He's had a long career, 46 years in law enforcement, and we applaud that. But at some point, it's time to hang it up. And I think that time is now. Hopefully, voters in Polk County agree. Forget the R behind Dan Charleston's name. He's a good guy and has a lot of great experience. And he'll get rid of those traffic cameras, which I think most of our listeners would agree are horrible. So anyway, we'll be back in a moment.
Your friend just had a huge fight with her husband. She is frustrated and can only think about how bad the conflict is and will become. How can you help? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Our first reaction to a friend like this is to listen. This works initially, but in the long run, we tend to only be encouraging negative thinking and gossip. You're not a marriage counselor, but what can you do? One thing you can do is help her adjust the direction of her thinking. Right now, she only sees the bad that conflict promises, but she might benefit from seeing three good things that conflict offers a Christian. I use the Peacemaker's Principle pamphlet by Peacemaker Ministries to show that conflict is an opportunity to do the following: glorify God, help you become more like Christ, and to test your unconditional love and service. If you would like more materials on how to help a friend, stop by our counseling center in Ames or visit our website at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hey, do you want to take advantage of the marketing potential within social media for your company or organization, but you're not so sure how? Let me help. My company, 415 Communications, is a social media consulting firm that works with groups like yours. Go to 415communications.com or give me a call at 515-321-5077. And now we've come to Brian's favorite part of the show. I like it too. But we're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable, yet you know it must be true because...
you can't make this stuff up.
KSAZ Fox 10 in Phoenix reports a man is in custody after leading police on a bizarre chase into the East Valley on Wednesday night. Phoenix police began following the suspect in Phoenix, and the pursuit continued into the East Valley, but it took a bizarre turn when the suspect stopped at an In-N-Out Burger restaurant's drive-thru near Priest and Ray Roads in Chandler. A man is in custody after when they found the guy, he appeared to order food, but then he drove away and got out of his pickup truck near Rock Ren Way and Ray Road. I'm not sure if that's necessarily important for us to know. And then he ran into a backyard and tried to get into a house through the back door, but when he couldn't get inside the home, he just surrendered to police and was taken into custody. According to jail records, 35-year-old Joshua Adkins was booked on suspicion of unlawful flight from law enforcement, aggravated assault, domestic violence, and unlawful imprisonment. And they never really did say if he actually did order food. Man, I have some hankering for some In-N-Out. I heard they're good. I mean, obviously, it's a West Coast thing. It's kind of similar to Five Guys, maybe.
Yeah.
Even though I've been told, they probably tell me to bite my tongue that it's better than Five Guys. I've heard a lot of good things about In-N-Out, so mm-hmm. I don't know. If I was being chased by police, maybe. He might be thinking, this might be the last good meal I have for a while.
There you go. So he's looking at jail time, so hey, I'm going to go.
Hopefully, if he did order it, he consumed it quickly. Because I don't think they... he didn't say, hold on, can I eat my burger, please? Hey, you know what? Bonus, because we've got time.
Oh, boy.
From UPI, Hot Springs, Arkansas, a former employee of an Arkansas county is facing numerous charges for allegedly using a government credit card for personal expenses, and including a dog tuxedo.
A dog tuxedo.
The criminal complaint against Christy Gross, age 43, a former administrative assistant to Garland County Judge Rick Davis, states she used a county credit card for $200,000 worth of personal expenses.
Wow.
What kind of credit line do they have?
Gracious.
I mean, I didn't see how many years this goes back, but... she allegedly used the card to pay her bills and make purchases, including clothing, a diamond bracelet, nearly $1,000 worth of Arkansas Razorbacks tickets, school lunches, pet insurance, and, of course, the dog tuxedo from Amazon. Davis fired Goss after an auditor noticed discrepancies on the card in May, and the Arkansas State Police investigation was opened in July. I hope for swift justice in this situation and hope a message has been sent to all that any and all misconduct and noncompliance with county policy and the law will not be tolerated and the appropriate actions will always be taken to bring justice, David said in a statement provided to the Hot Springs Sentinel Record. She's facing 7 felony counts of fraudulent use of a credit card, and she faces 3 to 20 years in prison for each count. Hopefully that dog tuxedo was worth it.
Indeed.
It just blows me away. They never think they're going to get caught.
Yeah, I don't see how you could ever conceal that on a statement.
It might take a while, but they're going to eventually catch you.
Yeah.
And especially when you spend $200,000, there's no way you can make that up.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. Anyway, send your You Can't Make the Stuff Up ideas to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. We'll give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show. Again, the story@caffeinatedthoughts.com. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. See you next week, everybody.
Get better, Brian.